Welcome to the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather.
This is a show that discusses theology in a very simple format.
Right. So if you are interested in theology, but don't consider yourself a theologian, hey, you found the right show.
This is Josh and Heather Tice. We lead Southern Hills Baptist Church in Las Vegas.
We love each other, love theology, and love to talk. So we always begin with a little fun. Let's get started.
All right, here we are, episode 23.
Episode 23, we're going to be talking about the resurrection, which is interesting because if you're listening to this around Easter time, it's perfect. If you're not, it's still perfect because the resurrection is always relevant.
Okay, and if you're listening to it around Easter, I just want to say you're way behind.
Well, that's true. Yeah, this is coming out in the summer, but
yeah,
but that's okay. So, people are catching up. See, what happened was there's this guy or this woman, and right out there listening to this right now, and they didn't find the podcast until a year after we started. Now they're listening to all the back episodes, and this one is their favorite.
It's and Duchess Kate. This is it took you a while to find us, didn't it, Duchess? But we're glad you're here.
Hello, Kate. Forgive me for all the things I said about William, but you know it's true.
No.
Now she doesn't know. She might just only have listened to
now
this one.
Now she's going to have to go back and listen.
She's going to have to go back and listen.
Don't do it, Kate. It's not worth it.
Over and over.
Yeah, he doesn't mean it. And I don't validate any of those comments. No. Please know.
No, and I don't mean any
yes,
of them.
Yes, I support you and the monarchy. Okay, we better move on.
We've talked about this, by the way. If we lived during the time of the Revolutionary War, you would have totally been a Tory. You would have supported the crown.
I'm afraid I would have. And
she
know
would have. I know
that's so un-American of me, but I'm a pretty loyal person. And well, it depends too.
Crystal,
you know,
this is driving our producer crazy. This is crazy, right? This is crazy. She would have totally.
I want to be a patriot. But I think maybe I would be a double agent.
No, you
I would
not
be like,
have been a double
yes,
agent.
Yes, I'm with you people, my friends, my neighbors. We're gonna rebel. We're gonna start our own country.
Been a double agent.
And then secretly,
I would have been
writing letters to the crown. I really think you need to come over here and talk to everybody.
Heather.
There's a lot going on you don't know about. We're really concerned. Could you just drop the tax?
It's so true.
Please?
Yep.
What if we just cut it in half?
Heather is a loyalist, number one. She also loves the concept of a monarchy. Number two.
What?
A monarchy?
That's
I say
a lot
monarchy.
Of malarkey about the monarchy.
I say monarchy like it's malarkey.
No.
I do it on purpose.
Oh, my goodness.
She loves the idea of a monarchy, as well as not only the idea of a monarchy, She also is very obedient. So the very moment anybody in a red coat would have told her to not do something, she'd be like, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I wish I could argue with this, but I think, I don't know, I think you're right. I think I secretly would have been like trying to
totally.
Bring peace. And yeah.
She totally would have been
And
a
I
Tory.
Think we could be stronger as an empire together. You know, like, why are we trying to break off and do this thing? This is a bad idea.
Oh, my word.
So, yeah.
You would have been so hung, and I would have had to marry the town tavern owner or something
what?
Like that.
What? That was a strange place to go, Josh.
Well, if we
I'm
were married.
I'm dead and you're going straight to the you need whiskey or something? What
no.
did they drink
well,
back then?
Well, back then, taverns weren't the same thing. It was like a public house. You know, it's where everybody
yeah,
went.
The public house. That's right. You're going there for the social, the social aspect. No, I mean, I'm glad, you know, I guess you're drowning your sorrows, but still,
I'm,
not
I'm
Christian,
be sad
sir.
I'm going to hang you. And I would have had to agree to it.
You know
I'm a
what?
Patriot.
There is, that's kind of a romantic way to die. I don't want to hang, but like to be hung for your principles and like, you know.
That is such a weird,
I don't know.
Again, martyrdom is romantic. You are.
I don't know. I think there's something about it. Like, I mean, you don't want to die in just some plain way, like a carriage accident. You know?
You are a romantic.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
So give me an unusual death. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, moving on. Boy, that was a strange rabbit trail to get onto there.
Today we're talking about
so
the
if you're listening, you should comment. You should comment. Let us know. Would you have been a Tory or a loyalist?
They're the same thing.
They're the same thing.
Or yeah, would you be a Tory
See,
or a patriot?
I set them up so they could be on my team. That's how I get people on my side
yeah,
is I give them only two options that are the same thing.
All right. I see what you did there.
So the king said, he's like, do you want to stay loyal to me or do you want to be on my side? It's like the same thing.
Did we just take up our fun time with this conversation? I kind of think we did.
Did we? Yeah. Oh, man.
But it was fun.
Is that a good question?
Well, we'll do it for the next episode.
Well, so the question is, are you a Tory?
Yes. Are you a Tory or a patriot?
Well, answer the question I answered.
I'm a patriot.
What about you?
Clearly, I'm a patriot.
Yeah, I think you are.
I would have totally.
Troublemaker.
Yeah. I would have been a John Adams patriot. You understand? I would have been trying to hold the line. Really? Crystal's relative. Okay. So, yeah, I would have been a John Adams.
See, my relatives are across the pond for the most part.
I would have been.
They're European.
That's true. So. I would have tried to keep the peace.
Icelandic.
I would have tried to keep everything going. I would have even supported the Brits. But then, when push comes to shove, we're gonna follow Sam Adams into the revolution.
I don't know. I could see you being a bit more fiery, because them taxes would have ticked you off, man. I know you, sir, and I think you might be a little less restrained than you think you would have been.
I feel like I need to watch Mel Gibson's movie now.
What? Didn't you just watch that, The Patriot?
Yeah, but it was only a month ago, so.
Okay. I can't watch that movie. Not my favorite. See, again, that just shows my loyalist heart there. That's why I've not liked that movie all these years. I'm like the only person in America who doesn't like that movie.
All right. Let's move to the main topic.
Okay.
Speaking of loyalty, I don't know. I have no.
How are you going to bring the resurrection in with loyalty? I mean, that's love.
Right, yeah.
And power.
Power. We're not gonna try to transition this. Now, folks, we're moving on to the main topic, and that is the resurrection. So, in the last few episodes, we've been discussing a lot of different things, but understanding the crucifixion was just a few episodes ago, and now we are into discovering the resurrection. So, we're gonna talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and different theories about the resurrection. I think it'll be fascinating. So. Let's go ahead and begin with this concept on the resurrection and discuss the nature of the resurrection itself, Heather.
So, yes, it's a bodily resurrection, which means it was an actual physical resurrection.
As opposed to what?
Well, we're going to talk about some of the false theories in a minute. But, for example, the idea that he wasn't really dead, you know, that he was in some kind of coma or passed out. We're going to talk about that. But, no, it's an actual physical resurrection.
Right.
He
it's
was
not like...
touched. His feet were held.
Right.
After he rose from the dead.
Yeah, it's not like, yes, when people say Jesus is alive, yes, Jesus is alive, and I know he lives. I know he lives. Why do I know he lives? Because he lives within my heart, right? It's ridiculous.
Good song.
It's a little silly in the sense that we know that he lives because he lives within our heart. No, we know he lives because he physically rose from the grave and over 500 people from his eyewitnesses. That's how we know. We don't know the revolution.
But that song, I don't know. The song is teaching the principle of the Holy Spirit, that his spirit, you know, communes with our spirit.
No.
I know I'm getting off topic here, but the point of that is really, it's a good point. I do know, not just from history,
right,
but also from the fact that the Holy Spirit has done things God has worked in my life.
I totally get what you're saying. What you're saying is it's an experiential argument.
Yes.
And you're saying, and that will speak to an existentialist. Okay.
Right.
But the problem is your experience is not theirs.
Right.
So
and so for them, we can go back
proof.
To history. There's been all these witnesses.
Right. So we know that he lives. How do we know that he lives? Historically, we know that he lives because over 500 people saw that he physically rose from the grave. So this concept of the bodily resurrection is important, too, because it's not just like his spirit lives among us and his memory is there. Oh, he'll always live. Kind of like Mufasa.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Right. So he's not just kind of the mentor who's talking. No, his body actually rose again. And I haven't seen Lion King. The body never comes back,
no,
right?
If
it does, then your
Simba.
Illustration doesn't work here.
No. Simba is there at the end of the movie, and he needs his father to speak to him.
Right.
So he looks up in the clouds,
and
the spirit
there,
of his father is there. So he's still alive. Or Star Wars, right? Where Obi-Wan Kenobi dies.
Like it's...
But he comes
back
as a spirit.
Yeah.
So sometimes we think, okay, did Jesus come back in that way? No, Jesus physically was buried in a tomb, and his body that died physically was resurrected.
Mm.
So he himself came out as a body that was fully alive, and not in zombie form, not physically he's walking around, but his soul and spirit are elsewhere. He's just a mobile carcass. No, he physically rose from the dead. And his spirit, his soul, everything was there just as it was before. That's what makes it a bodily resurrection. And that's important because, as we mentioned, there are going to be some false theories we're going to discuss.
Now, before we get to those theories, the other aspect of his resurrection, in fact, it's my favorite part, the thing that makes his resurrection unique, is the fact that he was resurrected by his own power. Because there have been other resurrections throughout scripture and history.
Such as who?
Like Lazarus. But Lazarus did not of himself come back to life and make himself get up from the grave.
Right. The Bible tells us Elijah brings back a child who had died. But that was through the power of God, through Elijah, the power of another. Jesus Christ, through his own strength, raises himself from the grave.
Yeah, he says this in John 10, verse 17 and 18. He said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I choose to go to the cross. I choose to die. I have power to lay it down, just like I have the power, you know, to go to the cross. I have power to take it again."
See, I mean, think of the audacity of that statement. Here's a person who says, "I can lay my life down and I can pick it back up. I can, my life will be gone and I will bring myself back." Mm. If Jesus Christ is not God, he is the most arrogant man who ever lived. I don't like it when people balance this. Well, he was a good man. He was a miracle worker. He wasn't a good man. He wasn't simply a miracle worker. Good men don't claim to be able to lay their life down and then through their own power raise it again. No. Yeah. This man was either God or he was a very arrogant man who claimed things that were impossible. Mm. I believe the former, not the latter.
Yeah.
So now when we talk about the resurrection, we talk about the importance of it. Why is it so important to the Christian faith? For example, one time I had a guy, a friend of mine, actually, a good friend. He said to me, okay, it was a rabbi, actually, a friend of mine. You know him. And he wouldn't mind me telling this on the show. He said to me, he said, okay, Josh. He said, what if Jesus didn't rise from the grave? What if, does it really affect your faith? He said, you're still Christian. You still follow the ways of Jesus. You want to be like Jesus. And you are very much, he said this to me. He said, you are very much like Jesus. You're kind and gracious and loving and you try to be godly. What if that part of the story wasn't true and that part of the story was just written to spread this story about Jesus? This is what he said to me. And I knew exactly what to say to him. What do you think I said?
Well, I think you'd say that our faith is built on that. I mean, it's what everything hinges on.
Right.
Without that, all of Christianity falls apart.
See, precisely. I looked at my friend and I said, okay, Rabbi Goodman, here's the deal. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, what I'm doing is a waste of time. My whole life is a waste. Mm-hmm. I've dedicated my life to the advancement of not the fact that Jesus was a good man and the fact that he taught nice things. It doesn't matter. There are a lot of good men who taught nice things. I could dedicate myself now to hedonism. I could dedicate myself now to money. I could dedicate myself to anything I wanted to. None of that matters. What matters is if this guy really died and really rose from the grave, it proved that he was who he said he was.
Yeah.
It proved that he is God. And if he was God, well, that doesn't just change my life. That changes the world.
Mm.
And so if he did not die, boy, I'll tell you, if he did not rise from the grave, then Christianity is a mess. In fact, Paul said the same thing when somebody asked him specifically. Paul said, if Christ be not risen from the grave, we are of all men most miserable. He says this in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, of course Christ rose from the dead, but if not, we're of all men most miserable. Now, why would he say that? Well, because during this time, Christians were being persecuted. They're running for their faith. So that's why it's easy for some non-believers today to say, well, it doesn't really matter because it doesn't really affect your life. No. First of all, if you are a Christian, it does affect every aspect of your life. And secondly, if he did not rise from the grave, then Christianity doesn't mean anything at all.
Right, exactly. Kind of following up on what you said, Christ's claims would be worthless if he didn't rise from the dead. Because everything that he said, over and over, he promised this. Throughout the Gospels, we see him saying, you know, the third day the Son of Man will be raised again. The third day I'm going to rise again. I will rise after this, you know. And so you're right. If he's not going to rise from the dead, then he's made false claims. He's been a false teacher. And really, how can you trust someone who brings heresy?
Right. Now, somebody might say, okay, then maybe he didn't. And maybe you're right. Christianity doesn't have a lot of weight. Well, that's where I would say, according to 1 Corinthians 5, 3 and 4, It says that here's the good news, here's the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again 3 days later, mm-hmm. according to the scriptures. And then it specifically talks about he was seen by 500 eyewitnesses, mm-hmm. and by the apostles, and for me, most significant, was his brother James. Let me tell you mm-hmm. why. James, his brother, was not a believer in Jesus. Not at all. In fact, throughout the Gospel of John, you see that his brothers were mocking Jesus because mm-hmm. Jesus thought he was Messiah. And so they made fun of him. So here's a brother, guy grows up with Jesus. And all of a sudden, his brother is publicly tortured and mm-hmm. executed.
Yeah.
And James watches this and he's thinking to himself, I knew it. My stupid brother got himself into this mess and all these idiots mm-hmm. that are following him. Now he's up there hanging on a tree. He's bleeding out. He's dying. My mother mm-hmm. is weeping at the foot of his cross. This probably, and I'm not being disrespectful, I imagine he's thinking, what an idiot that guy is. And he's ruining mm-hmm. everything. Ruining everything. And then this unbeliever, yeah. 3 days later, sees his brother physically walking around. Mm. You know what happens with James is James not only becomes a believer, he becomes the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. He moves from Galilee, his family, to Jerusalem, becomes the leader of the church, and his life yeah. changes forever. He writes the epistle of James in the New Testament. And you say, what's the point? The point is, if Jesus did not rise from the grave, what happened with James? Why did he believe? What was the sudden change? The answer is he saw his brother publicly executed, along with 500 other people, saw him physically risen from the grave and said, this must not be some dude I grew up with. This must have been God.
That is great. And, you know, we have that same kind of assurance and hope as well. Not only was it what changed the lives of the apostles, it really changes our life and our perspective because it gives us a guarantee that one day we and our loved ones who've trusted in the Lord will be resurrected. Yeah. So, for example, I love that 1 Corinthians, we've been going to 1 Corinthians a lot, 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept or those that have gone before those that have died. The idea is that God has promised this eternal life. He's promised this resurrection. And Jesus is the first. He's leading the way in life after death.
Yeah, that's right. So if he rose from the grave, it means that we will too. Now, mm-hmm. let's get into the false theories about the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Okay, and I got to be honest, you got to help me out here because these things always frustrate me. So right. I'm going to try to just be involved in this discussion and not get angry
yeah.
and not just be dismissive because usually a lot of times I hear stuff like that and I'm just like, that's so stupid.
No. Yeah. So
just ignore it.
We have to get into the mind.
I'm not going to ignore it today. I'm going to take it seriously.
We have to get into the mind of the skeptic. And there yes. are those who say, okay, but what if he didn't really rise from the grave? All right, let's address that. Some would say, some skeptics have produced what's called the theft theory. And that is that someone
that's
came
so
in.
That's so stupid. Sorry, I just couldn't help it.
No.
You
just
had to say it.
We're
going to
do that. No, but here's the theory. Jesus didn't rise yes. from the grave.
His body was stolen by right. the disciples right. to promote this whole false theory and this false religion.
Right. The disciples go in the middle of the night and they steal the body of Jesus and they hide the body of Jesus somewhere.
Yeah.
And so Jesus didn't rise from the grave because the disciples stole the body.
And see,
right?
to me, this is the easiest one to dismiss. It's, well, I don't know. They're all just so easy to dismiss. This one, you look at the historical accounts of everything, just from the fact that the soldiers were placed there, you know, to guard the tomb. That it's not like the authorities hadn't thought this could happen. They specifically say the Pharisees are worried about this, religious leaders, because, and I think it's interesting. Why do you think they're worried about it? I think they're worried about it because this is what they would do. I think this shows their hearts
right.
that they would be like, you know what? This is what they're going to do. This is because that's what they would do.
Right.
And so they put these Roman guards around the tomb, and Roman soldiers took this very seriously because it would mean their life. They're not just going to be paid off. They're not going to be bought off.
Right.
because it wasn't like, oh, you'll just have a bad dishonorable discharge.
Right. You know? Have a few Roman soldiers surrounding the tomb. You're not going to be able to get through and steal the body. You can't pay them off because you can't pay them enough that's worth their own very life.
Right.
So how does Jesus get past these Roman soldiers? He rises from the grave and they faint away.
Yeah, it's not like disciple team, SEAL Team 6 or something or whatever, you know, going in like, who are these? Yeah, like they're going to have this stealth operation.
They were fishermen. There was a tax collector among them. I mean, my word. The only person who probably had any ability at all was the zealot, Simon.
Yeah.
This guy was a bit of a terrorist, if you actually look at his history, but came to Jesus.
Yeah.
So other than him, probably the
and even then, they weren't real successful.
No.
The zealots in that day.
And then you look at who else was there? James and John, right? They were sons of thunder, so they were angry people, but probably had very little ability to fight back. So
don't have Jason Bourne here,
right?
You know, going
that theory is absolute absurd. It really is absurd. And there's another reason why it's absurd. One of the reasons it's absurd is because each and every one of these disciples go on to die for Jesus' name. Now, you say, well, people die for things that aren't true all the time. Yeah, that's true. But people don't die for things they know are false.
Absolutely. So people will die for things that aren't true. And that's what makes them insane. Because some people say, well, yeah, they're just crazy people who'll die for something that's not true. But they believe it's true. That's what their insanity is. They really believe that if I kill myself, I'm going to get on this alien ship. Or, you know, I'm going to go to this world with, you know, all these virgins because I believe it's there.
Right. This is the whole purpose behind that. So the disciples, these individuals, they genuinely believed that Jesus died and rose from the grave. All right, if they stole the body, then obviously they wouldn't have believed it, which means they wouldn't have been martyred for the faith. They would have copped out. So the fact that they died for the faith shows that they had nothing to do with the departure of the resurrection. So some people have said, okay, fine, the theft theory, that has no validity because of the reasons we mentioned. But there are other theories, say.
Like the swoon theory. So the swoon theory is the idea that Jesus didn't actually die. He just fainted. And then we got in the tomb. The air was kind of cold and it woke him up from this unconscious state.
Right. Right. He's beaten with a cat of nine tails. He's marched down the Via Dolorosa to Calvary. He's pierced in his hands and his feet. He hangs up there for hours bleeding out. He's stuck in the side with a spear. And he faints. And then after about 6 or 7 more hours, they finally pull him down, right? They put him in a tomb.
Well, Roman soldiers aren't used to dealing with dead people. So, you know, they probably weren't sure.
Right.
This was their first crucifixion, you know. It was not common in those days.
Is he dead?
Yeah.
Is he dead? I don't know. I've never done one
Poke
of these
him.
Before.
No. I mean, seriously.
It's
Come
stupid.
On, y'all.
So yeah. Then, I'm sorry, this is a rational theory by people who are thinking. So they put him in a tomb, and then in a dark, cold tomb with a man who has just been tortured for hours, the cool air wakes him up, and then he pushes
Let me add this. He had just gone through how many beatings? He was unrecognizable as a human,
right.
So he didn't need any medical attention.
Right.
Just a few hours of rest. In a cold tomb, it was going to be enough for him to recover. No medical attention needed there, you know.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, there's so many problems with this theory, obviously. One such problem is if this theory gives the idea that Jesus goes on to live a long, productive life somewhere. It doesn't give rise to the idea of the ascension and he's gone. So the question is, where is he? Why aren't his disciples promoting him? Does he live in solitude the rest of his life? Nobody's ever going to come see him. He stops teaching. This is antithetical to the person of who Jesus is these past 3 years. So there are so many problems with this theory, not only medically speaking, but historically speaking. What then happens to Jesus?
And then there's the hallucination theory, man.
Right. The hallucination theory states... We stated
earlier. Do it in that
earlier,
voice. Please do that in that voice.
Okay. We stated earlier we were not going to mock these theories, but here it is.
Oh, my goodness.
The hallucination theory, man, teaches like everyone had this communal hallucination. Like everyone.
All 500 people.
the Roman soldiers and the disciples,
Nicodemus,
they all together actually were hallucinating this because, you know, I forget.
You forget. So, yeah, the idea that they would all have the same vision, you know, and not just like a small group of, can I say the word hippies? Not just a small group of hippies or, right. you know, people inhaling something, but this large, massive group from Roman soldiers.
Did you just say inhaling something?
I don't know.
I was insinuating. I was insinuating
inhale,
drug
right?
use earlier. You just came right out and said it.
Well, I mean, the idea, like, I don't know. Like,
no,
I think very practically,
like,
and I think, okay.
If you
I mean,
have 500
was, like,
people
in,
hallucinating.
In the West, there's, like, these sweat lodges and things, you know.
Right.
Even the Native Americans had these things.
Right.
So the idea that there's something
okay,
that came
but
around.
They might
that
all be able to hallucinate.
To
I agree. I agree that a
yeah.
group of people can have a communal hallucination, but
yeah.
that they're hallucinating the exact same thing.
Same thing, yes.
You put 50
and
people
I love
in a,
the different, you've got not just the disciples, but also the Roman soldiers, everybody.
Okay,
everybody's
yeah, you
in the
put
same
50 people. You put 50 people in a room, right? They all fall asleep.
Yeah.
And you wake up and 50 people tell me they had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. I believe that. They all had a dream. They all had the same dream? Now
yeah.
I'm listening. Now, why? Because that's insanity. Now these people, 500 of them, they all had the exact same hallucination.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just one moment that they meet Jesus. This is throughout
yeah.
is throughout many days after his resurrection.
Yeah,
so
you've got Mary at the tomb. You've got Thomas later who touches him physically.
Right, you have Jesus speaking publicly to the
yes.
500. You have the two witnesses
on
that are walking down the road
yeah.
to Emmaus. All of these people are having simultaneous hallucinations.
No.
This theory, I'm sorry. It's not. It's not that great.
Yeah,
you need to try harder.
Okay, so the last one we'll talk about today is the wrong tomb teaching. That's hard to say. Wrong tomb teaching. Say
the
it three
wrong
times.
Tomb.
Wrong tomb teaching. Wrong tomb.
The
you
wrong
can't do
tomb
it.
Theory. I'll go with that.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, according to this fable, the women. It's such a sexist theory.
Yes.
The women and subsequently everyone else
we get confused.
Went to the wrong term or the wrong term. The wrong,
wrong
tomb.
I told you it's hard to say.
Okay, so. So they were so overcome by grief, they forget where Jesus was buried. So they show up at another tomb, and the tomb is empty. And they're like, oh, Jesus is alive. And
yeah.
then the women, who clearly don't know anything, right, go to the men, and the men come, and they don't know what's going on either, because they're dumb men. And they walk in, and oh,
yeah.
the tomb is empty, therefore Jesus is gone. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, a couple of problems with this. You've got the grave clothes that are arranged there. I mean, so it's not just a random empty tomb, but there's an empty tomb with folded grave clothes
right.
laying
yep.
there. You
not,
know?
Not only that, according to Mark chapter 15, the women carefully observed the burial of Jesus.
Yeah.
They were part of the process. So how would they have picked the wrong tomb?
Yeah. And the next morning, they weren't really concerned about, you know, the tomb's location, but the weight of the stone. How are we going to... So they, not
they
only
knew
that,
exactly
they knew
where
which
they were
one
going.
It was. Yeah. What the stone looked like in front of it. Also, you've got the fact that the tomb was owned by Joseph of Arimathea. I think he would have stepped up and been like, no, it's this one here. You know?
Yeah, yeah. That's the wrong tomb. Okay, and there's one more that caps it all. The enemies of Jesus,
oh, yeah.
the chief priests, the Sanhedrin, they would have clearly said, yeah, he is still in the grave because that's the one.
Right.
They had more to lose than anyone else if
yeah.
Jesus had resurrected. So they would have opened the tomb. They would have said, there's the body of Jesus. Y'all stop this nonsense. But they couldn't point to a body because there was no body.
Mm.
And so that theory is debunked.
Yes. Well, I feel like we did pretty good today
yeah, I think
getting
so.
Through those and not just losing our minds because... Like I told you, that one's a tough one.
It's
for
hard
me.
Not to lose your mind at insanity.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
So, we're glad that you joined us for this episode of the Bible Talk.
We
so,
hope our sarcasm wasn't too much for
yes,
you today.
Yes, yes. So, and maybe you can commiserate with us though on that, and you felt our pain and joined with us in that sarcastic journey. But
right, bring better theories. Hey,
yes.
Hey, bring better theories. If you don't want to believe, you want to be a skeptic. Just think of smarter things.
On the next episode, we are going to be talking about parenting. We have a special episode on parenting. We're going to be talking about parenting
yeah.
through the seasons.
Looking forward to that. So if you're a parent, grandparent, uncle, aunt, or have influence with children, really there are some tips in here that will be helpful and beneficial to you.
If you'd like to connect with us further, please like our Facebook page, The Bible Talks with Josh and Heather. Here we can interact with you, take questions, hear from you, Duchess Kate, and other listeners. Share with us what you're thinking and your ideas.
One thing we would really love for you to do is take this podcast and share it on your Facebook page. Here's why. There are people that you have as friends who really might enjoy this, and we would love for you to get that out there. So tweet about it and put it on Facebook and Instagram. I don't even know if you can story it some on social media. So do whatever you can to get the word out and tell a friend.
Thank you for listening. And remember,
when the Bible talks,
we'd better listen.